Ah, yes, the crust version of today's Helwani show. Hello again, everyone. I'm Ariel Helwani. September 10th, 2018. Again, Happy New Year to you and yours if you are celebrating. This is the crust version. If you like to eat your crust first, then you're probably listening to this first. You're probably enjoying this before the actual interview portion of the show. That's how we break it down these days. Give you 3 to 3:15, 3:30 if we're lucky, if, you know, everyone's being kind and generous. That's usually the interviews. And then it's the post show, the crust version of the program, where we answer your questions, we break things down, we talk things. We like to let our hair down a little bit in this portion of the show with our good friend New York Rick right over there. Hello. Speaking of hair, he's got the finest hair in all the biz.
I think that's
joining
true.
Us once again in studio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here. It's great to be back from Dallas. Have you ever been to Dallas?
I've only passed through. Haven't visited.
Only passed through, meaning?
The airport.
Airport,
you know.
DFW.
But no, have not visited. What do you make of it?
I like Dallas a lot. Every time I'm in Dallas, except for this past trip, I go to the JFK area where he was assassinated, because I don't know, I'm somewhat interested in it.
There's
all.
There's definitely something powerful.
Yeah, you see the X on the ground. Mm-hmm. You see it on the street. There's usually some guy outside, you know, waxing poetic about there being multiple shooters.
Sure.
In fact, someone told me while I was there, because I was talking to one of the crew members while we were there, that there is a theory, which I've never heard this theory. There's a theory that it was his secure or bodyguard that actually shot him. He was the second shooter.
Have you heard this? Many theories.
I didn't
know
about this.
One of them.
Anyway, it was the book depository.
Yeah.
Yeah. The book depository, Lee Harvey.
If you buy what they're selling you.
Yeah. If you're buying that, maybe he didn't even want, someone told me that he didn't even try to shoot him, that he was just there. Like, I don't know. Who knows? So anyway, I didn't get to go this time because we didn't have a lot of time, but it was great. I enjoyed it. We got to do two fun shows with Chael, got to do media day stuff. There was some drama, of course.
There was.
It wasn't the kind of drama that we expected with Darren Till. Tyron Woodley makes weight on the second try, although he says that they were kind of after him on that one. And, of course, women's flyweight title fight never happened. So there was a lot that happened. It was a good trip. And now I actually want to start there, if I can, if you don't mind.
No,
I want to start there. Women's flyweight division.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have been asking me about this. And they've been asking me first about how I feel about Nico getting stripped. And listen, I'm a human being. I have feelings. I have my own thoughts. I thought that her response to my quote-unquote report a couple months ago, I thought it was uncalled for. I thought she went a little too far. But we actually buried the hatchet. I spoke to her at the media day. We're cool. We actually did an interview where we talked about it. For whatever reason, they never posted it, which...
I saw the clip.
Yeah, it's the clip. They never posted it. I don't know why. They never posted it. I don't know. And then I guess it was too late. So that was a little bit disappointing. So we were cool. But then she, of course, does not make weight. She doesn't weigh in, and then she gets stripped. And to me, honestly, I felt vindicated. Now, how I felt about it and what I think of the decision are two different things. But tell me this. What bothered her the most about that report? It's that I said that they were losing patience.
Yep.
Stripping her, not even informing her, and even everything that she said about being forced to fight on this date, X, Y, and Z, does that not sound like an organization that's losing patience with a fighter?
It does. It sounds like they're trying to usher in the Valentina Shevchenko era.
They tried to get her to fight earlier.
Yeah.
They couldn't. They tried to get her to fight on this date. She agreed to it. Then she withdrew for her reasons. And once she withdrew, they took it away, and that was it. And so to me, you know, she never apologized. That's fine. Do I agree with the decision of stripping her and certainly not informing her? I think it's a little harsh because other fighters have been out for way longer than that and not been stripped. But if they truly had trouble getting her to fight, and that's what Valentina said, and that's what my other sources said, because, again, they tried to get her to fight in July.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I think it is justified. She's the champ, and she failed to make weight. What's the repercussions? You got to get stripped.
That's actually interesting, because I think it's justified regardless of any of that, just for the simple fact that she was missing weight, essentially. We can essentially chalk it up
this
to that.
This is unprecedented territory for the UFC. Max Holloway, kind of the same,
concussion.
But he never made it. Yeah,
or whatever symptoms.
Right.
Were.
He never made it to Friday. She made it to Friday.
She was cutting weight and could no longer cut weight as the champion. So let's assume that everything had been going smoothly to that point. This fight happens as soon as she wins the flyweight belt. I still think that this was the proper decision. I still think that going along the weight cut and being unable to make championship weight for a championship fight as the champion, I think that is the right decision. I think that that's the decision that needs to be made in all these cases. If this were to happen again for a reigning champion, not having this back and forth with the UFC, I still think that that's ultimately the right decision. It's unfortunate that we have been going through all this, because then it continues a narrative that had already been established. But I think if you look at this objectively, that the right decision was made regardless of whatever was happening beforehand.
But then when you add that to it,
it looks different and it makes it all.
I think you actually have a stronger case for doing it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the idea of moving on from this and finally having now something to look forward to rather than to continue this is an appealing
The division thing. Has been a debacle since it started. You should never crown a champion off of a reality show. And you get this champion off of a fight that materialized in 24 hours because Sajara Eubanks missed weight.
Right.
And then you have this situation where they can't get her to fight, and then she misses weight. And so then I'll go to my tweet saying, let's get this division on track, and there's only one person to do it, because Joanna's a pro, Joanna's a draw, Joanna's a former champion, Joanna's someone who successfully defended her belt multiple times, and they've already talked to her about going to 125. And with all due respect to all the people who are attacking me, you're not draws yet.
Yeah.
You're not selling pay-per-views. Joanna versus Valentina is a pay-per-view headliner, in my opinion. And there's a history there. And they fought three times in Muay Thai. I was not trying to knock any of them.
Sure.
But I don't know what it is with me and the flyweights. They all come after me very quickly.
It also stands to reason, based on that logic, that this would only help. If Joanna is the champion of that division, as you mentioned, she's a draw. She's a name. She's somebody that if they then got that opportunity to fight, it means a heck of a lot more than if they were to get the opportunity to fight for this now. Now, if they capture the belt and Joanna becomes a challenger, that's another story altogether. But I do think that this division has been off track a little bit, and it does need a fight that people care about, and there will be some stakes and magnitude to it, and Joanna definitely provides that.
You book it?
I would do Joanna versus Valentina. Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
It's unfortunate for the people who are in the flyweight line, and I think I wouldn't have said that. I would not have had the same answer had Nico and Valentina fought. I would not have said the next fight is Joanna versus Valentina. I would have said the next challenger in line for flyweight, but I think this division needs it at this point, is why I'm with Joanna.
It's a no-brainer. She's a big name. She's a draw. And let's not forget, Valentina's 1-0 as a flyweight. It's not a division with a rich history.
Sure.
And let's not forget, as I told Sajara Eubanks, Frankie Edgar got a title fight at 145 after losing two straight at 155. What's the difference in this case? The difference is Joanna won a fight after losing the belt back in July. So to me, to say like she hasn't earned it, super fight, no. I think Joanna should go to 125, and I think she should stay there, because she's not getting a title fight as long as Rose Namajunas is champion. Now, if Jessica Andrade fights her and wins, and maybe things change, but to me, it's a fresh coat of paint on her career. It's a boost to that division. She's a pro. People care about her. She's a draw. I mean, just from a business standpoint, if they're all being honest, they all agree.
This is the fight to make.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I have no disagreement there.
And Nico, you know, going back on Instagram and going on with the rants and everything like that, it's just, to me, it's not a good look. You know, I hear what she's saying about being disrespected by not being told about the belt. I hear what she's saying about feeling bullied by Valentina. I just think at this point, after everything that happened and you didn't show up, it's tough to come back from that. It really is.
But that's why I think the statement is so important, and I think that's why her keeping her voice out there, regardless of whether you agree or disagree, is important, because this is her relevance. Her relevance was being that champion. That was what she had. Yeah. That belt meant everything to her career, and now she needs to remain in that conversation. So I completely understand it, and I completely agree with her that the fact of her being stripped shouldn't have been found out on social media. That should have been a conversation that was had behind closed doors.
Oh, absolutely. You should be notified.
You should be told.
Whether it's – maybe you can't speak on the phone, you're in the hospital, but manager, training partner.
Somebody needs to know.
Friend, best friend, husband, wife. Someone needs to be told. And even the way Dana said it's like, oh, the belt is vacated. Like just so matter-of-factly. No. Like there's some kind of like, you know, written in stone rule. This is unprecedented territory. I felt like she deserved a bit of a – like he was very – you know, matter of fact about it. There was no remorse whatsoever. And also funny because he went on the UFC Filtered podcast, and hello to my friend Matt Serra, who told me he did not appreciate that I called it that, but I said I will continue to call it that as long as it's, you know, state run, audio listening. Every time they need a bump in the audio, they get Dana on to talk about me, which I appreciate. It's nice. He said nothing of it. He came on and he's like, oh, you know, we supported this and that. And then he has an opportunity to back her and he does nothing to back her.
Yeah.
He does absolutely nothing to back her. I feel for, it sucks to lose your belt this way. It truly does suck. And she went through, and I was saying it all week long. Everyone was trying to get me to bash her. I was saying it all week long. She went through a murderer's row on that show. Yeah, Barb Honchak, Roxanne Modafferi, Lauren Murphy. These are great fighters. And then, you know, she beats Roxanne to win the belt. These are great fighters. So she is not a scrub. She's not. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's a Valentina thing, whatever the case may be. I think it was the right move to move on.
Yep.
And I'm curious to see how she responds from all of this because it's tough.
Yeah,
I don't envy her.
The story is there for her to redeem herself here. The story is there for her to prove that she's the best flyweight in the world, for her to take a new flyweight opponent, eliminate this Valentina stuff from her mind, take a new flyweight opponent, get herself back there, and then you've got to fight. I don't think they would be reluctant to give her another title fight. I really don't, because I think there's enough of a story there, and there's really not a lot of stories at flyweight at the moment. That's the reason why Joanna is such an attractive option,
yeah.
Is there really aren't that many options. Sajara is somebody who is in a similar position now and has to build herself back up and get there. I could see Nico winning a fight or two, and there's a story between her and Valentina.
And by the way, in that interview, I told her that. I reached out to you many times, this, that, and the other. I showed her my DM on Instagram. I showed her my text. Reached out to her for this to come on today. And what kind of annoyed me was that she didn't believe me. She's like, oh, I don't believe you. Oh, I'm like you want to see it? Here it is. Yeah. I changed my number. Okay, well, how am I supposed to know that? And then I went to your teammates. And anyway, I'm over that whole thing. I'm glad it's over. I think they need to move on. Do a vacant title fight, Valentina and Joanna. That's all there is to it. Now, how did you do as far as betting is concerned?
Oh, we're jumping there. Okay.
Yeah, that's where we're jumping.
I didn't do so well.
You didn't.
Not so hot.
Wow.
The one I was the most confident in was Alex White over Jim Miller, and we saw how that went.
Look
Jim
at
Miller
you.
Absolutely obliterated him. I just thought Miller was shot. I thought he was too shop worn. I thought I was fading him really hard. It wasn't that I was in particular in love with Alex White, but botched it. Like, could not have botched it worse. Jim Miller obliterated him. Just mishandled, misread, bad bet. Like, you can't even defend it. The second bet I had, there were four total. Aljamain Sterling, thought he would outclass Cody Stamann.
Yeah, yeah.
Proved to be true.
Yeah.
That one, I was very off, and then I was very on. And then in the next one was the one that I took a little bit of risk on, but felt relatively confident. I picked Nico Price, and I picked Nico Price inside the distance. But I fully admitted the thing I said right after that was that I could see Al-Hassan knocking him out in 30 seconds, and that's what we saw. It was a bad game plan by Price. I thought if he was able to not engage in that kind of firefight, he would have really had a good opportunity to make a name and pick them. But Al-Hassan, that power is silly. You can't stand there in the pocket with him. So bad night, 1-3 on that one. Last Rick's picks was 1-1, so we're looking at 2-4 at the moment.
Wow.
Not hot.
Wow.
There's some real interesting ones coming up in Moscow.
Okay.
Be worth looking at.
All right. Hold that thought for a second. Tyron Woodley wins. Phenomenal, right? Incredible performance. Virtuoso.
One I saw, I predicted, and one that I think opened people's eyes, but in I'd frame it as, why did you need to have your eyes open? Like, this guy's been here doing this and shutting down people for a long time. Like, I'm surprised at how surprised people are.
Really?
I'm surprised at how surprised.
I was surprised that he ended up being an underdog.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
That's crazy, yeah.
It's surprising to me that a guy who's been doing it at this level against these opponents is still an underdog.
But it does feel like on this Monday he's getting a little more respect and attention and deserved praise, right?
100%, and it could not work out better for Colby Covington.
Oh, it's great.
It's the best thing that could ever happen for
Look,
Kobe.
Look, they rolled the dice. Had he lost, it would have been an epic blunder. But they rolled the dice on this one, and they end up winning because it just adds another layer to it all.
Now Tyron Woodley is finally going to get the respect, and he's going to be a huge megastar. He's going to be the babyface. Everybody's going to love him. And Colby Covington's going to come in here and rain on the parade and get more hate. It's going to be fantastic.
Now, Dana White doesn't always do press after fights.
Yeah.
He doesn't always. We can't pretend like it's a constant thing these days. There was once a time where he always did everything.
Not every time anymore.
Saturday he didn't. Coincidence?
I haven't heard a reason yet, so I'm going to say no.
Did you see some of his interviews on Friday?
I did, yeah.
He made the rounds. He spoke to Fox. He spoke to us. He spoke to TSN. Everyone was like, he shoots himself in the foot. He'll never be a fan favorite. Every time he speaks, we're in Texas. The Englishman is being cheered more than him. He did nothing to build up Tyron Woodley. Absolutely nothing. And then he wins on Saturday. You owe the man, in my opinion, some props. You owe, as his promoter, I think, you owe him some props. Otherwise, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
No interviews leading up to 228. No talk of the fight itself building it up. All you did was demote Tyron, and you don't stick around to actually give him his props?
Yeah.
Credit to Tyron for taking the high road and all this, because I thought he wasn't going to.
You thought Tyron was going to go off.
I mean, what more does this guy have to do?
I'm with you.
You were so quick to judge him after the Maya fight. You were so quick to say he will never fight again at the top of the card. You were so quick to say that was the worst title fight ever, worst title fight in welterweight history. You were so quick to say that you won't trust him in that spot. The man delivered.
He did.
He freaking submitted Darren Till. Darren Till was probably 20 pounds heavier than him. Submitted him with a darce choke after dropping him. Come on. Give the guy, if you're going to be quick to criticize him, be quick to give him his props. That's only fair.
Tyron definitely took the high road. Dana definitely known to be emotional and to react in elevated ways, let's call it. He's definitely strong-willed, strong opinions. I wouldn't be surprised if there is something like that where he starts to change his tune and say, you know, look, I said this about Tyron Woodley. I said it wrong.
No.
We saw that, I think, not after Maya, but maybe after Thompson. There was something along those lines where they seemed to make up. They met in person. I wouldn't be surprised if we start hearing that, but it's long overdue. Tyron Woodley is one of the most marketable guys that the UFC is going to have, and I think they need to put the support behind him to prove it.
In smart ways.
Yeah.
Look at all the people who are cheering for him. Do you see that? On social media, the Snoop thing was hilarious, even though he got the opponent wrong. But, like, Snoop is talking about him. I saw Wiz Khalifa talking. Like, there's actual difference makers.
Yeah.
People who are role models, who are megastars, talking about this man. He connects with them.
Take a mulligan. We messed up to this point. Starting now, it's time to push.
This fight, you know, I thought
this
Punk on the show. I thought Punk on the show, you know, I thought he nailed it, honestly, in his assessment of Colby. But, like, Colby could pretend all he wants that he's not doing what he is doing.
Yeah.
There's a very clear story going into this fight.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very interesting to see how much the UFC plays on it and how much they move away from it. And if the media attaches themselves to it and if they attach themselves to it. This could be uncharted territory for the sport.
And that would be my one criticism for Tyron Woodley after a flawless performance, after a flawless walkout, post-fight, everything. Give us what we want. Call out Colby Covington. Give it to us. Don't no-sell it. Give me it. I want it. I think, you know, there's an element to not being disrespectful to Kamaru Usman that's in play in Tyron's head, but the fight is Colby Covington. Let's talk about it. Give it to me.
Great card, top to bottom. Darren Stewart, Jeff Neal, as you mentioned, Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, Diego Sanchez, Jim Miller. Amazing.
Best card of the year so far?
I thought so. I mean, the only card that wasn't, the only fight that wasn't great, Jimmy Rivera, I kind of expected it after the knockout loss, tentative. Dotson's hard to get your hands around. And of course, the strawweights were phenomenal. Tatiana Suarez continues to rise. I disagree with Chael. I think that Jessica Andrade is the number one contender at 115. You disagree?
I said she was number two last week, and you gave me a look like I was.
What?
I had three heads.
I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, I said she's the best. I said she's the second best strawweight in the division, and you were like,
"Well,
what about Joanna?" I think that she poses problems for a lot of the strawweights.
Yeah,
Joanna excluded. I think that is a specific type of fight, but I think Andrade is the person that every other strawweight in that division does not want to see her number called. I think that she's
incredible.
She's the boogeyman in that division. Yeah. And I think she's coming for the title.
And she's super powerful. I mean, holy smokes.
Yeah.
And then of course the beat with the amazing submission and then asking for Chad Mendes.
I like that fight. I'm in.
You do?
Why not?
Too soon?
No.
I like Zabit versus Aldo. I like that call out. He said he wanted either one on Thursday, but then he really zeroed in.
Why is Aldo not too soon and Chad Mendes too soon?
Style-wise.
He's got a ground game. Yeah, I want to see it. Let's see it. I like that fight. I like Mendes versus Zabit. I want to see how he does do against that guy. Aldo, I think is too soon. I think Aldo's the type of guy that it might be, hey, former champion territory. Let's chill on that for a second. Let's pump the brakes. I like Mendes versus Zabit. I don't think it's too soon. I don't want to see any more showcase fights. I've seen what I need to see from Zabit.
Definitely. I don't want to see showcase fights anymore. Let's get it done.
Let's have a top contender.
All right. Let's answer some questions.
Yeah. Okay. We'll run through them quickly. Keenan Reynolds.
Yes.
Tyron Woodley versus Colby Covington will be the first fight in a while where Woodley will be the good guy, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And we'll have lots of fan support. Do you think because of that, the UFC will finally give him the marketing push he deserves? Do you think that this was a turning point? Will we see Tyron Woodley in the promos, in the build-up, everything about Tyron Woodley?
I would like to think so, but I honestly don't have a lot of faith these days. I mean, did you see the promo for 229?
I did, yeah.
Underwhelming.
It was okay.
Well, I know they don't have a lot to work with because Conor and Khabib aren't really talking right now, but I thought it was very underwhelming. This is... I gotta say, I know I'm going in a different direction. I don't know if I'm still on the 2 million boat for this one.
Interesting.
I'm not feeling the promotional muscle. I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it. So I think that Colby versus Tyron is a phenomenal fight. I think it's so easy to promote it. I think there's a story. I think they've done a lot of the work. Now just get behind it. Will they get behind it? I don't know. But if there was one time to get behind Tyron Woodley, it's now.
I think this will be a turning point. I think we will see it. I think it just lends itself to this. Like, Colby Covington is going to do everything in his power to get Tyron off his game, to get Tyron talking about it, and we're just going to see something that is going to lend itself to the promotion.
So.
And I think they'll capitalize on it. I think this will be it. Returning to what you said about 229 for a second, do you even think, though, that this is the type of fight, Khabib versus Conor, that needs the long burn? Like, could something happen two weeks out, a week out?
Remember the promo for Cormier Jones?
Fantastic. One of the best.
It was honest. It was real. Now they're using the same footage over and over again. There's no real story. They're using old bites. They're using old bites of them.
Do you need it? Could Conor and Khabib turn the light on two weeks out? You know Mike's fight promo?
I go look at his thing and I'm like, that was a good promo. That pumps me up. That pumps me up. I get excited about this.
I'm with you, but I almost feel like for a fight like this, the burn is almost too long. I think two weeks out, they can just go.
You think another one's coming? I don't know if another one's coming. It's less than a month away.
Maybe they give them something.
Yeah, look, come fight week, they give us one press conference. They give us one stare down.
Could be all you need.
Everyone is going to go nuts. Everyone's so excited about the fight. I just feel right now, it's not what I felt last month.
I'm talking more about the 2 million buys necessarily than the promo part of it. Like, I think they could get it. I think they could build a world tour back up.
If they went to Moscow, if they went to Dublin, if they went to New York, 2 million would have been easy. I just remember that stuff with Floyd, as much as it may have fizzled towards the end, that helped. Those were memorable moments.
Yeah.
LA, Toronto, as much as we rolled our eyes at Brooklyn, that was shown a million times over.
It's almost actually the type of thing where, like, the content of the press conferences is secondary to just the fact that it felt big.
Yes.
Like, I don't remember a single thing said in those press conferences, but I remember the press conferences. I remember the fact that they did the world tour. I remember the crowds. I remember the reactions.
Conor in Dublin, when he took Aldo's belt, you need that interaction. You need those moments. You need people to talk. You need people to get excited. So I'm not saying, look, Conor versus anyone does a million. Conor versus anyone probably does 1.2, 1.3. I just feel like right now, and it's not only their fault. So going back to the question, I just don't, like, I'm just not seeing it from the UFC right now. I'm just not seeing that kind of brilliance.
If it doesn't do 2 million, let's say if it beats Nate and Connor, but doesn't do 2 million, is it a failure? Did they have everything that was built?
No failure. No way.
Because pay-per-view is harder at the moment also.
Yeah, there's
if it doesn't beat Nate and Connor, is that a failure?
No, because you can argue that Nate is more popular than Khabib.
Man, the expectations were here. They're coming down here.
Yeah, maybe we'll see.
Okay. Edgar asks, what's next for Valentina after her fight was called off this weekend? Shevchenko, you want Joanna and Valentina. I think that's also the fight to make.
Easy.
And I wouldn't have said the same thing if this fight had gone off. A guy whose name is just MMA and then a bunch of numbers. I wanted to hear your thoughts on TJ Dillashaw wanting to move down to 125 and fight for the belt there. Don't you think that he should not pick on the smaller man and challenge for that second belt at a weight class above? So he's saying, why go down? Everybody should want to go up a weight class.
Because he wants to make history. He wants to get the two belts, and 145 is probably a little too big. I like the idea when it was him stopping Demetrius Johnson's run and breaking that record. I don't love the idea now that Cejudo, you know, just won the belt. Now, with Cejudo's division, if we're not going to do immediate rematch for Demetrius Johnson, which I don't see why you wouldn't, but if we're not, okay, maybe there's not a lot of guys that make a ton of sense. There's Pettis fighting Formiga in October. You know, there's a couple guys rising up, but there's nothing really.
Sun Sao's always.
No, I'm talking about Cejudo.
Oh, you're talking.
Yeah, 125. But at 135, there's an enormous amount of guys. There's Marlon Moraes. There's Rafael Sunsao. There's Dominic Cruz.
There's tons of options.
So I just don't feel like it's the right time for it. But yeah, I understand why TJ's doing it. And if I'm Cejudo, I want to be moving up. The DC Miocic fight is the blueprint. There was everything for DC to gain and everything for Stipe to lose. DC loses that fight. He goes back to his weight class. He's still the king. Stipe lost. He's got nothing now
so
to show for it.
So by its nature, though, do you have a problem with somebody wanting to go down? I don't.
No, I don't have a problem.
I think because of the situation, there's always something to gain for the person coming up.
Yeah, I understand.
Let me take that opportunity. Yeah. So if he can make it and 45 would actually be harder, I'm completely okay with that.
Yeah.
GC asks, while it may change now, UFC 228 is out of the way, but do you feel the lack of promo? Oh, we talked about this. Okay. Do you think the promo will be affected by DAZN's debut?
No.
And the massive promo budget that they're putting behind it. Do you think that will take away from 229?
No, I'm fascinated to see how that Strikeforce, that Bellator event that is headlined by Rory versus Gegard on September 29th, which is rapidly approaching. Holy smokes. That's the first show on DAZN. I'm very curious to see how that does, but I don't think that will affect it at all.
Okay, two quick technical questions about the show.
Yes.
The show's from Joe Dittmar. The show has been noticeably shorter since moving to ESPN. Is that a company decision or personal choice?
That is a group decision. I'm happy to address this stuff because we are an open book. That is a group decision, but I will argue that it actually isn't all that much shorter because you may recall, if you're a longtime fan of the show and not just a noob, you may recall that the show for the longest time used to go from 1 to 4:30 Eastern, which is 3.5 hours, correct? And that was the standard. And then once we did a deal with Twitter, we added an extra hour and then we kept going a little longer and longer. And that was kind of my fault because I kept adding guests, 15 guests, blah, 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 blah. But that was the after hour, right? That was the extra hour. But the show itself was typically 1 to 4:30. Today, I think we wrapped at like 4:20. So it's the same show. And then if you add this show, which is usually 30 to 40 minutes, you're getting the same 4 hours. So towards the end, as I was super stacking the deck at MMA Fighting, it got a little longer. But it has always been, you know, of course it started an hour and then it went to two. But for a long time, the sweet spot was usually 3.5 hours and then we added the extra. So if you actually think back to that time, it's always been this length. It's now broken up into two, which I actually like. I don't mind it. I think it's, you know, it's good for the crest first.
Crest first.
Yeah, people out there, and I know there are a lot of you out there. Some of you don't want to admit it, but I know there are a lot of you out there. And so for the most part, it's typically the same. Yeah, is it maybe 30 or so minutes less, but it's a more concise thing. So this is not a directive from anyone. This is a group decision. And at the moment, I think it's fine.
Okay. We also have a question from The Broken Servant about, will the show ever go live on YouTube?
Okay, so a lot of people ask me about this as well. The reason this show is allowed to exist is because of ESPN's deal with Twitter. And before they had that deal, there was a very good chance that this show would have just been dead. And so I think that we owe Twitter a great deal of gratitude and thanks. And so I'm very thankful and happy that we have this opportunity to be on Twitter. And then the post show is on YouTube. And then all the clips, it's in a playlist format. In chronological order. Yes, it's not live, but you go and click on the first and it'll just play for you automatically. It's kind of like if someone goes from one network to the next and you're like, well, I really miss you on channel 5. Well, that's what happens when you change. Things change. but it's still available live. It's still available internationally. It's still available online. It's just on a different platform, but you can get it in VOD form after the fact. So right now it's Twitter exclusive. I'm happy to be on Twitter. I'm happy for the opportunity. And I know that there are some things that people don't like as far as like pausing and whatnot. Yeah. But I think that over time, the Twitter video format is a lot different than the YouTube one. And it's also a lot newer. And so it will evolve and change. And I've heard about some things already that they're working on. So just, you know, just stay patient. It's going to keep getting better. It's going to keep evolving. And if you, the last thing I'll say about this is this. If you think that we made this move to just continue doing the exact same thing that we were doing before, then I would say to you, why? Why would we have done it? If it's the same thing, I just would have stayed. But we did this to change, to evolve, new experiences, higher ceilings, new things, post shows, pre shows, all this stuff and more. Who knows, other sports, that would be great. So if you, like, just think to yourself, why did we do this? Why did we do this? Why did we make this decision? Why did we take this quote unquote gamble, if you will? It's not to do the exact same show, because if I wanted to do the exact same show, I would have stayed there. You get what I'm saying? So yes, I appreciate everyone asking. I appreciate everyone checking in. I appreciate everyone wanting to be like the old days, but things change.
And you can still get it.
And you can still get it. All those places. It's all there. It's all there. You just have to work maybe a little harder to go to a new place, but it's all there.
Nobody is not getting their content.
Right.
Go to YouTube. It's there. Crust first. Not crust first. However you want to eat it. Or live on Twitter.
Right.
And thank you to Twitter. Yes. Ariel gave a little insight that not many people probably knew, that like they Twitter is important to how this show continued.
Yes.
We should,
very important.
We should be.
And they have a deal with them. This is the way it works.
Last question. Podcasts.
Yes.
From Christopher Kitt. What do you listen to and what would you recommend? Do you have any favorites?
That's a great question. Well, if you must know, I love a lot of the podcasts here at ESPN. The Low Post is one of my favorites.
Staple.
The Woj Pod, one of my favorites. Love the Woj Pod. What else? I like a lot of radio shows that are available in podcast form. So I like Rosillo's. Oh, that's not a radio show, but I like his new podcast with ESPN. I listen to a lot of the ones out of the Sportsnet 590, The Fan in Toronto, like Primetime Sports with Bob McCown, The Jeff Blair Show, The Lead with Stephen Brunt is a great show as well. Jay's Talk I like as well. There's no great Knicks pods, which is unfortunate. There's no like specific Knicks pod, which really makes me sad.
You could get some Knicks from Jesus and Mero.
Well, do they? You know what? I've listened to their podcast before and I'm big fans of theirs, but it's all like, shout out to this guy, shout out to that guy. And I'm like, I fast forward for 15 minutes.
AKAs?
And I'm like, yo, man, like there's nothing
can we
on
move
it.
This along?
It's so annoying.
15 minutes of,
yes.
of AKAs? Like, I'm in for it.
It's what? It's annoying.
They'll eventually get to something.
Where is it? Oh, I like JJ Redick's. I know you're a fan.
Best.
I like the sports media ones, of course. There's some of the ones I like. How about you?
A lot of the same. We often talk podcasts.
John Pollock and Wei Ting, post wrestling, my guys. Yes, we talk. If I get a pod. Who was I listening to? Oh, Steph Curry. I was listening to him with Bill Simmons. I'll send that to you. Oh, that was great stuff.
You covered on a lot of the sports ones I listen to. Outside of that, I love comedy ones. Comedy Bang Bang's a great one. Road Tripping from my guys.
They still do it?
Jefferson and Channing, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's taken different forms and stuff, but that's a great one. The Basement Yards one I really like, with my boy Danny Lopps and Joe Santagato.
But none better than this one.
But is this even a podcast? This is like a multimedia experience.
Sometimes I'll be honest. Sometimes I get a little annoyed when people call it a podcast.
Yeah.
It's not a podcast. It's really a TV show that's available in podcast form. That's the way I view it, at least.
There's so many good ones out there. But you covered a lot.
They are the best.
Okay, real quickly.
Yes.
Before we go.
Moscow. This weekend.
Tons.
Give us one.
Tons of heavy favorites. So not a ton that I really like on this one.
Mark Hunt or...
Hunt is a little over 2-1. Olenek's
A
little bit of a dog, like almost 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Don't love that because I expect that Olenek might be able to get him down at some point, but don't know if it will be enough to get a submission. I'm staying away from this one. Both those guys are so up there in age. It's kind of a hard fight to gauge at this moment. Hunt has so many things going on in his life outside of the cage. It's a weird one for me. I don't love either guy in that matchup. The one guy I really like, unfortunately his odds are pretty steep, is Marabek Taisumov. I think he's incredible. He's minus 440 last I checked. Let me just double check. Yeah, he's minus 440 over Desmond Green. I think that's a lock. I don't think there's any way he
loses
that fight. Desmond
Green stayed on the card, eh? Dang.
Yeah, that's surprising. For now,
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden he doesn't. But
I mean, at this juncture.
To go to Russia and fight Taisumov with that going on, though, that's difficult. But I think Taisumov is a lock. There's some other heavy favorites that I do like. Maybe you could parlay them together. I like Rustam Khabilov. That's a tough fight for Cajun Johnson, unfortunately. Peter Yan making his debut, but also fighting a debutant in Jin Soo Son. So
good.
I really don't love betting on debutants, but Peter Yan is like a proven commodity in my mind and facing another debutant, so I like him. And another one, Alexei Kunchenko, who was really good on the Russian scene, facing a veteran in Thiago Alves. I think that's one that he's going to win. He's a minus 500 favorite. So there's some heavy favorites on the Russian side of things in this one. Taisumov is the one that I like. And then maybe you parlay Khabilov and Yan as another one. So that'll be my two. Unfortunately, none of those is going to pay big money because they're such heavy favorites, but not a ton on this card.
It's the people main event, right?
The props haven't come out yet. What's the people's main event?
I mean, it's the return of Al Capone.
Ah, Nikita Krylov.
Yes.
And Jan Blachowicz.
That's like a pick'em, right?
I'm looking at
it, yeah.
Yeah, it is a pick'em. Minus 110 for both sides on that. Another one I was interested in, I was thinking I like Jan and where he's at this point, but Krylov's been racking him up away from the UFC, so I stayed away. I don't know. So I'm just going with Taisumov and then a parlay of Peter Jan and Rustam Khabilov.
I like the main event. Mark Hunt fighting against Alexei Olenek, the boa constrictor himself, the man who, of course, loves to use the Ezekiel choke, or as he will call it, the Olenek choke. So there's some to like on this card. It's really like Russia versus the world.
It is, yeah.
There's a Russian in every single fight, I do believe. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time on Fight Pass. That's the prelims. And then the main card is at 2 p.m. There's also LFA this weekend as well. So there's a little something for everyone as we come down from the high of UFC 228. And start to get prepared for UFC 229. Other news this past week before we say goodbye, Holly Holm, I reported on Thursday, underwent knee surgery. She's hoping to return in early 2019. Antonina Shevchenko, the older sister of one Valentina Shevchenko, is making her UFC debut on November 30th against Ashley Evans-Smith. Eric Silva, remember him?
Of course.
He has signed with Bellator. He's fighting October 12th against Lorenz Larkin in their welterweight tournament alternate fight. Baby Slice is going to make his 155-pound debut on that card as well. Claudia Gadella against Nina Ansaroff.
I like that fight.
Toronto, that's a fun one. And how about Jessica Rose Clark against Andrea KGB Lee?
I also like that
fight. December 15th, to be exact. So that's some of the news of this past week. But it has been fun. Happy New Year to you.
Likewise, thank you.
Shana Tova, are you doing anything tonight?
I am not doing anything.
Wow.
I'm not practicing, as they would say.
So. Oh, really?
No.
I feel like we've talked in the past that you kind of dabble. No? Not at all? All right. This got awkward. I have to get to a dinner. We have to dump some honey all over ourselves. You know, we like to do that in our family. Usually you get to dip the apple in the honey, but in our family we like to take baths in the honey
to
accentuate the sweetness of the year to
come. Is Jake invited?
Jake Lebowitz or Lebowitz?
Lebowitz.
He is no, actually, he told me that he is deciding to watch the Jets tonight, as a good Jew should do. He's watching the Jets play the Lions, I do believe.
Correct.
Producer
in Detroit.
Jake, who I was told is a FanDuel player and has one of the best rosters on FanDuel.
Well, I don't know if it works that way.
First place, right. Jake. That's what we're going to call him. First place. Do you play FanDuel?
I do. Yeah.
Can we get a head-to-head battle between you two?
Me and Jake?
Yeah.
Sure.
Do they do that?
Yeah, they do that. The way it works, though, is that you pick every time. So, like, his roster may be good for this coming event, but, like, the next event he has to pick a new roster.
Oh, no, but this is football. Or you
I think
don't do
that's
football?
Still it works. No, but I definitely don't do football.
All right.
Come on.
We'll find someone.
MMA.
Maybe we'll do a PJ.
What I'd really like to get going is a pool about MTV's The Challenge, like me and Jake.
I heard there's a Whew. This is like the greatest thing to ever happen to you coming over here, because you actually found people who not only like that show that I've never even watched once.
Passionate. Strong.
Know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
The stories, everything.
I gotta debrief with Elisa, find out how she likes it.
Could I just say one thing before we go, as I was talking about some of the inner workings of being here at ESPN? The most fascinating thing about being here in 3 months, this is what I've learned.
I'm interested to hear this too. I don't know what you're gonna say.
The thing that has blown my mind, the thing that I did not expect, the thing that has shocked me, right, is that there are four people who still watch The Ultimate Fighter. And guess what? They all work in the MMA department here at ESPN. They're the last four.
Yeah. Yeah.
Religiously. DVR it. Talk about it the next day. There is literally four people on this planet Earth.
And you found them.
And I found them.
And they work with you.
Now, they claim they just watch the fights. I call BS. They actually talk about it. I hear them talking about it. I cannot tell you a single person on this season. I cannot tell you the last time I sat down and watched it. These four individuals who work on the show, Nick, Jake, Brittany, Elisa, they all watch them.
I respect it.
All watch them.
I don't watch, but I respect it.
No, because you remember in our previous life, we used to talk all the time. Who's watching the show? Who's watching the show, right?
We found them.
We found them. And they all happened to work together. It's unbelievable. Oh, Elisa's now saying, for the record, she has not watched the current season yet. I think they're like one episode in. And also, I call BS. And I feel like you have watched it. So there you have it. If you want to know what it's been like for us here at ESPN, it's a bunch of tough watchers. All right. We are done. We're out of time. You get my music. That's what it's been like. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of our lives. Tyron Woodley, man. I got to tell you. That entrance when he came out, fists in the air. Whew.
Everything was right.
Nailed it.
Except for the Colby call out.
Nick's writing to us too. Called me a turncoat. I outed you, Nick. I outed all of you. Sorry, what'd you say about Tyron?
Everything up until the Colby.
Except for, yeah. Yeah, but you know what? He gave a plug to Wiz Khalifa and his single.
And his own single. Yeah. So you know what? That was good.
I've heard it. Roy Jones Jr. is going to run back to the recording booth and he's going to re-record Y'all Must Have Forgot, because there is a new king of the combat sports rap song.
Wow.
And it's...
I know how you feel about Roy.
I beat that ass. I think that's what it
is. Yeah. I know how you feel about Roy, so that's high praise.
That's... Yeah. Am I allowed to say that word? I hope so. If not, I blame Tyron Woodley.
No, you're good.
All right. Thank you to everyone who watched the post show. Thank you to everyone who watched the regular show. If you missed anything, check it out on Twitter. Check it out on YouTube. Check it out on Stitcher. Check it out on ESPN. All those places and more. Back next week. Same time. Same place. I'm still getting used to the song. I'm not quite sure when it ends. Usually I time it out very well, but here I'm like 20 seconds a little too early. Thank you to all our guests today. Pearl Gonzalez for coming in studio. How lovely is she? And also her cousin, Jocelyn. We'll talk to you next week. Peace. I'm out of here.